You are climbing through 11,500 feet over the Rockies. The terrain is high, the density altitude is higher, and you realize you have no idea when you're actually required to have supplemental oxygen on board. I'm Pattern on Traffic, Pattern right here on Radio Hangar. And this is one of those regulations that sounds simple until you actually try to apply it on a cross-country, over mountainous terrain. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.211, Supplemental Oxygen. It is one of the shortest regulations in Part 91, but it trips people up constantly, because there are three different altitude thresholds, and the rules change depending on whether you are the pilot or a passenger. Let's walk through this together, because once you get it, you will never second-guess your flight planning in the high country again. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that. Private pilot instrument commercial? They have got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, the regulation gives us three altitude gates to remember, and the altitudes we are talking about here are cabin pressure altitudes in an unpressurized airplane, which is most of the training fleet. That just means the altitude you're flying at. So let's keep it simple. Gate number one. 12,500 feet means sea level up to and including 14,000 feet means sea level. In this range, the required flight crew, that is you as pilot in command, and anyone else required for the flight, must use supplemental oxygen if you spend more than 30 minutes at those altitudes. 30 minutes, that is it. So if you're crossing a ridge and you need to be at 13,000 for 20 minutes, technically you are legal without oxygen. But the moment that timer hits 31 minutes, you're in violation. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. That 30-minute clock does not reset when you descend and climb back up. If you spend 15 minutes at 13,000, descend to 11,000 for a bit, and then climb back up to 13,000 for another 20 minutes, you have now accumulated 35 minutes above 12,500. The regulation says the required minimum flight crew must use supplemental oxygen for that portion of the flight at those altitudes that is of more than 30 minutes duration. The FAA interprets that as cumulative time, not continuous time, that catches people off guard. Gate number two. Above 14,000 feet means sea level. Now, there is no 30-minute grace period. The required minimum flight crew must be provided with and must use supplemental oxygen during the entire flight time at those altitudes. So the moment you climb through 14,001, oxygen goes on for the pilots. No exceptions. No timer. Oxygen on gate number three. Above 15,000 feet means sea level. Now the passengers enter the picture. At cabin pressure altitudes above 15,000, you must provide every occupant of the aircraft with supplemental oxygen. You do not have to force them to use it. The regulation says you must provide it. But here's the practical reality. If you have a passenger at 15,500 without oxygen, they may not feel impaired, but their judgment and night vision are already degraded. Just because the regulation says provide does not mean you should be casual about it. Let me put this in a real scenario. You are planning a cross-country from Albuquerque to Grand Junction, Colorado. The terrain between those two airports pushes you up high. Your planned altitude is 13,500. The cruise segment above 12,500 is going to be about an hour and 45 minutes. You do not have supplemental oxygen on board. Can you legally make that flight? No, you cannot. You are going to be above 12,500 for well over 30 minutes, and neither you nor your airplane has oxygen equipment. So what do you do? You either carry a portable oxygen system, which many pilots in the Mountain West do, or you plan a route that keeps you below 12,500 for the entire flight. That might mean a longer route through lower terrain, or it might mean the trip is simply not practical without oxygen on that day. Now let's talk about why this actually matters beyond just staying legal. Hypoxia. The insidious thing about hypoxia is that it feels good, you get a little euphoric, your decision-making degrades, your vision narrows, especially at night, and you do not realize it is happening. That is the entire danger. The regulation's altitude thresholds are not arbitrary. They are based on decades of aeromedical research into how the human body responds to reduced oxygen pressure. At sea level, the oxygen saturation in your blood is around 97 to 99%. At 10,000 feet, it has already dropped into the low 90s. By 14,000 feet, most people are measurably impaired, even if they feel fine. The FAA set these numbers where they did, because that is where the risk crosses from theoretical to real. And here is where it gets personal. Your individual tolerance varies. If you're a smoker, your effective altitude is already higher than the airplane's altitude, because carbon monoxide is occupying some of the hemoglobin that would normally carry oxygen. If you're fatigued, dehydrated, or fighting a cold, your tolerance drops further, The regulation gives you a legal floor, but the safe floor for your body on a given day might be lower. The examiner is looking for you to know these three thresholds cold. 12,500 to 14,000 crew uses oxygen after 30 minutes. Above 14,000, crew uses oxygen the entire time. Above 15,000, oxygen must be provided to all occupants. If you can rattle that off and then explain why, you're going to look very sharp on your oral exam. But let me add a layer that the check ride does not always cover. Portable oxygen systems. If you fly a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, your airplane almost certainly did not come from the factory with a built-in oxygen system. So if you want to fly above 12,500 for any meaningful duration, you're looking at a portable setup, a small bottle, a regulator, and a cannula. You can pick one up for a few hundred dollars, and for mountain flying, it is one of the best investments you can make. There are two types you will see. Continuous flow systems, which just deliver a steady stream of oxygen, and pulse demand systems, which deliver a puff of oxygen each time you inhale. Pulse demand systems are more efficient and the bottle lasts longer, but either type gets the job done. One more thing that is easy to miss, the regulation applies to cabin pressure altitude. If you are flying a pressurized airplane, say a Cessna 340 or a Piper Malibu Meridian, and the cabin is pressurized to 8,000 feet while you're cruising at 25,000, your cabin pressure altitude is 8,000 feet, and the oxygen rules are based on that 8,000 feet, not the 25,000 feet outside. That is the whole point of pressurization, but if that pressurization system fails, suddenly you are at 25,000 feet physiologically, and you need oxygen immediately. That is why pressurized aircraft have emergency oxygen systems, and why crews train for rapid decompression. But for most of us training in unpressurized singles, it is straightforward. The altitude on your altimeter is your cabin altitude. Let me give you one more scenario to bring this home. You are flying from Salt Lake City to Boise. Your route takes you over some terrain that tops out around 9,000 feet. You plan to cruise at 11,500. You will be below 12,500 for the entire flight. No oxygen required. Legal. Simple. Now change the winds. A headwind at 11,500 cuts your ground speed, and you realize you could pick up 15 knots by climbing to 13,500, tempting. But you do not have oxygen on board. Can you cruise at 13,500 for the whole leg? Only if that leg above 12,500 is 30 minutes or less. If it is a 2-hour leg, the answer is no. So you stay at 11,500, accept the headwind, and arrive with your brain working properly. That is the kind of decision this regulation forces you to make in planning, not in the air. And honestly, that is the beauty of knowing your regulations well. They do not just keep you legal, they shape your flight planning before you ever start the engine. When you understand 91.211, you plan your altitude with oxygen awareness built in from the start. You do not discover the problem at 12,800 feet wondering if you have been up here too long. Quick review, three gates. 12.5 to 14, crew oxygen after 30 minutes. Above 14, crew oxygen the whole time. Above 15, provide oxygen to everyone on board. Know it, plan for it, and remember that the regulation is the minimum. Your body may need oxygen sooner than the law requires it. Most of what I shared today comes straight from Federal Aviation Regulation 91.211 and the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapter 17 on Aeromedical Factors, both worth reading in full. You can find more at radiohanger.com. Fly high when you need to. Just make sure you can breathe when you get there. I'm Pattern. See you next time.